Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
Today we're going to be talking about perfection. In Matthew 5, verse 48, Jesus said, "Be therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect." We all know that a lot of things that we do, they just don't work out. We want them to, but they don't. Today we're going to be talking about perfecting. No, you won't become perfect immediately, but with God's grace, you can improve. Wasn't it Martin Luther King who once said something very noble and beautiful? He said, "I may not be the man that I should be, and I'm not the man that I one day will be, but thank God, I'm not the man that I was." It's so beautiful. Perfection is rooted in love. Christ said, "Be perfect." And in the context of what he was saying, it was to have love for everyone, an all-inclusive love, a mindset of love. Shakespeare, in the famous words of Sonnet 116, said, "Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. Oh no, it is an ever-fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark whose worth's unknown, although his height be taken." Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. So here is a little clue before I commence the program for you. Impediments. Other people, they don't realize what they're doing, but they are sometimes able to mess up your flow, to mess up your timing, to cause you to second guess yourself, all of which are impediments to the flow of true love. So let's get started. Here we go. Fasten your seatbelts.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is the path to perfection. And now here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. Today, I want to talk about perfection. What is perfection for a human being? Well, we know lots of imperfection, don't we? We are imperfect. Our actions are imperfect, and so are those of others. Sometimes we groan, don't we, when we have messed things up. We want things to be good, so we have some plan, especially when it comes to other people. We want to change them, or we want to manipulate them, or we want to alter the relationship, or we want to improve them, we want to help them, we want to win them over, we want to do something to them, don't we? Or get them to do something for us. And so we go in with our manipulations, and if they work, then we don't feel good about it, because all we've done is fooled another person, taken advantage, manipulated, taken away something of their freedom so that our will be done. You see? But mostly we mess up, and what we do backfires. So we try to change our kid's character, and it doesn't work. At best, you get a conformist who conforms to everything that you say. And usually they do so in front of you, but then when you're not there, then it's a different story. And they have weak character because the things that they do are for others, like for you, for example. Christ said, he said, when you give alms, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, when you give your alms, don't do it so that others will see you, but do it secretly so that basically, only God sees you. And then God will reward you. But if you do it for others so that they will see you and think well of you, then it basically ruins it. Well, you parents, when you force your kids to comply, you force them to be good, you punish them, or you reward them for doing good. Eventually, yeah, they will do good things in your presence, but why are they doing it? They're doing it in for your eyes so that you will reward them or not give them a hard time. You see what I mean? So you're basically teaching your children to do what Christ told us not to do. And that's why when kids go off to college, what happens? No sooner do they go off to college than, for the most part, they lose what seemed like beliefs and seemed like faith that they once had and all the good deeds that they once did for you to please you, to put on the show for others. It all goes out the window. And they feel better, actually, because now they're not being hypocrites anymore. But the problem is that they never developed real character. Real character comes from within, from doing what you know is right in your heart, not for other people, not for approval, not for perks or promises, not to get other people off your back, not to put on a show for anyone, but just because you see something that's right or wise and you do it spontaneously because you see that it's right or that it's wise. You see? And that pure action, see, spontaneous, without any ulterior motive, that pure action flows directly from what you see, what you intuit, what you wordlessly know. You see?
You're listening to Shedding Shackles with Roland Trujillo, Christian stress management on the radio for over 34 years. Are you feeling stressed out? Do you find yourself worrying a lot? Maybe Christian stress management could help. Want to find out more? Why not check out Shedding Shackles with Roland Trujillo, which airs weekends on this station.
Shedding Shackles podcasts are available at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back. And now, here's Roland.
Real character comes from within, from doing what you know is right in your heart, not for other people, not for approval, not for perks or promises, not to get other people off your back, not to put on a show for anyone, but just because you see something that's right or wise and you do it. And so there's no will, there's nothing of your will in it or anyone else's. So look, now look, here's the other thing. How many of you, you know, there's something you could do that would be, I don't know, let's say it would probably be a good thing to do or a wise thing or a right thing. But then you start to think, but if I do that, then I'm going to lose out on this other thing. If I do the right thing, then I'm going to lose out. If I speak up, I'm going to rock the boat, and then I won't get a promotion. I won't be popular. I won't fit in. You see what I mean? If I say what's true, then I won't get her approval. I won't have her support. I won't have her love. You see what I mean? So you change, you second guess. You could do something for someone, but then you think, well, if I do it for them, then I'm going to lose out on this other thing. And so you don't do it. So, or something comes in your mind and then you don't do it. Well, what could have been the perfect action that just flowed spontaneously, it's ruined by the second guessing. Somehow something selfish crept in. Or something in your mind that has a hold on you and it won't let you do the right thing. It won't let you be selfless. It won't let you be kind. It won't let you be generous. See? But then on the other hand, it can also be the other where somebody comes up and says, give me a dollar, and you think, well, if I don't give them a dollar, then I won't be a nice person. And so you eventually you give away the shirt off your back to everybody. You're just a total giver. Give, 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 and you spoil people rotten. And you become drained of life, you see? So there has to be a way of doing things perfectly so that God's will just extends through you. There's no middleman. There's nobody you're trying to please. There's no second guessing. And yeah, if those kind of thoughts arise that would dissuade you from what's right, then you just dismiss them. And the perfect action also has perfect timing. You are about to say something and it's true, but you hold off. You don't say it. See, you second guess. You think, well, should I really say this? And by the time you do say it, the timing is off. The energy is wrong. The motive is wrong. The moment is lost. So the timing is also important. But it can go the other way. Good timing can be deferring. Your kid is there and they're not doing their homework or something, and you're just about ready to jump on them for not doing their homework. But then you suddenly realize that they've been doing their homework every night now for the last 5 nights in a row, and the weather is beautiful outside and the other children are out playing, and you say nothing and you let them go and play. You see what I mean? Because you see the wisdom of not saying anything.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles, helping you navigate life's challenges with poise and confidence. If you have a question or need advice, call our listener call-in line at 510-455-8851. That's 510-455-8851.
So life is very simple. If you do what you know is right in your heart, in the back of your mind, you always are looking for the rightness of things, and then you move. But always you're delicately looking for the rightness of things. And there are certain moments, see, there are certain moments where you're about to buy something on Amazon, but here comes your child with a question. And you put the Amazon thing away and answer the question. You see what I mean? Or you're about to buy something on Amazon and you think, no, I really don't need it. And you don't buy it. See, so there are little moments. You're always looking for the wisdom and the rightness of things because you love what's right. You want to do what, just like David said. Dave said, I love, I don't know how many times he said things like, I love your ways, God, and your word. And I love your laws. He loved them. So he was always interested in them. And yeah, he did mess up. He did. He messed up. But deep down, he loved what was right and what was true. And so if you love what is right, then you'll mess up once in a while, but you'll see that you messed up. You see what I mean? You'll do something selfish, and then you'll see that it was selfish. But then you won't rush to try to impress everybody with how unselfish you are, because you'll see that that's just more selfishness. So you just don't do anything except see that you had been selfish. That's it. You just see it. You don't try to put on an act. You don't try to compensate, and then next time you give a lot to make up for it. No, it's just more for your ego interfering. And so much do we interfere with the natural. We become tense that way. Tense because we're second-guessing ourselves. We're looking for selfish advantage. We're worried about what they're going to say, how they're going to react. And so always we are hesitating and doing things with the timing just not quite right and the motive just not perfect and pure. What did Christ say? Blessed are the pure in heart. And so life in the spirit is waking up and you don't even know what you're going to do. And you just do this and that. You move intuitively as the spirit moves you from one thing to another. And then you notice something. For example, One day I noticed the leaves swirling, and it was going to lead to some interesting thoughts about physics and about the God, the way God made the universe. Or you notice something else, and you don't know why you notice it, but you just do, and it is meaningful. And then other times, there's something that holds you back a little bit. You're just about to say something, and something restrains you. It's something you're not supposed to say, and so you don't say it. You're about ready to pull away from a red light, and all of a sudden, you hesitate for just a second or two, and a red light runner goes by, and you're safe. And if you had immediately gone, you would have been hit by the red light runner. See, life is that subtle, and you're not in a hurry. You're about to move, and there's a little pause. Something wants you to pause, and you pause, and you're safe. And other times, the door opens, and there's nothing restraining you, and you walk through the door to happiness and success and all the good things. God's kingdom is a kingdom of surprises and delights. He loves to give gifts to his children, and I encourage you to find God's kingdom. So I want you to also see that people are very good at messing up your timing. They interrupt you, so they interrupt your flow of thought. They pressure you, they hurry you, even when they rush around themselves. The very fact that they're rushing, see, is a subtle temptation for you to rush too. And they're always interjecting doubt thoughts. Well, what about this and what about that? And what could this be better? And could you make more money doing that? And they're always putting in doubts. And that messes up your timing and your motive. And people are very good at that. But see, that without realizing it, see, some people do those things. They have all these little quirks where they interrupt, where they get your attention, where they manipulate, where they control you in some way, where they make you self-conscious. They mess up your timing, they make you self-conscious, and then your performance suffers, and then they rush in to help you perform better. See what I mean? And that way they have control. That way they keep you off balance. See, that way you won't see what they're up to. You won't pull the rug out from under them. You won't raise uncomfortable questions that they don't want to think about. You won't set a good example that would shame them by your modesty, by your humility, by your perfect performance. You would shame them. And so they secretly, mostly they don't even know what they're doing. They've picked up these little things from other people, and somehow subconsciously they know that they work, and they keep you always off balance. And by keeping you off balance, they maintain a sort of a control over you. You don't shame them. You don't outperform them. You don't overshadow them. And on the other hand, you don't ask uncomfortable questions. You don't see them for what they are. You don't call them on the carpet. So all of these little things they do that gets you your timing off, your flow off. So if you miss the perfect moment, but then you still do the thing anyway, then you have to add energy. Instead of it flowing naturally, then you do it with some kind of energy that you add. So adding that energy, that tires you. And the fact that your timing is off, thereby you are, what's the word to use? You are not flowing. And so there's some kind of an energy there that's not good. Your performance suffers that way. And you're not flowing perfectly from God's will, from intuition. It's not a perfect flow. There's a disconnect.
Call Roland now at 510-455-8851. That's 510-455-8851.
And when there is a disconnect, that is where others can basically take over. See, hypnotists, I'm sure you've seen stage acts at Las Vegas or something, or you've seen them on YouTube, or you've heard about them. The hypnotist will somehow mess up your functioning somehow. Something that would be a normal voluntary thing, the hypnotist messes it up, or something that's involuntary, just a normal thing that your body would do. They draw attention to it. They get you to focus on it, and then for you to try to control it, to do something. They get you to do something, and as soon as your performance begins to suffer a little bit, then they jump in and they establish control. Or maybe you start to doubt yourself. You see yourself failing. You see your performance suffering. You see them seeming to be in control, or they're seeming so smart and you're tongue-tied, and now you doubt yourself and you lose confidence. And once again, they jump in and dominate and take over. It's so subtle, but I just want you to see that you are far more off balance, operating with the wrong energy, not perfect timing, not doing what you know in your heart, not flowing, far more than you realize. And so the only way for you to start to come back to a perfect way of living and moving and having your being is to be able to stand back, take a mental step back, and with the help of the little meditation that I have, you can do that. Take a mental step back and watch. Observe. I go through life doing all the things that you do, but once in a while you'll notice that your timing is a little off. You'll see that your energy is not quite right. You'll see that you're second-guessing yourself or doubting yourself. You just see those things. Don't try to do anything about them. Don't try to change them. Don't try to get the upper hand. Don't try to do anything other than just see it.
Have patience with others, since patience may be the virtue we've forgotten most. A meditation moment. I'm Jeremiah Trujillo. The other day I was driving and stopped at a stoplight. The light turned green, and I looked first to the left and to the right to make sure that no cars were coming from the sides. The person behind me was patient and waited for me to go when I saw the way was clear. Have patience with others, and others will thank you for it. Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
And so the only way for you to start to come back to a perfect way of living and moving and having your being is to be able to stand back, take a mental step back, and with the help of the little meditation that I have, you can do that. Take a mental step back and watch. Observe. I go through life doing all the things that you do, but once in a while, you'll notice that your timing is a little off. You'll see that your energy is not quite right. You'll see that you're second-guessing yourself or doubting yourself. Or you see how when you falter, they immediately jump in and take over, and so on and so forth. So you just see those things. Don't try to do anything about them. Don't try to change them. Don't try to get the upper hand. Don't try to do anything other than just see it. And somehow the only term I can use is a magic, and it's God's grace. He somehow, when you see that your action is not perfect, but you don't know how to do the perfect action, but you see that it is not perfect, you see that it's not so good, maybe for other people, for your kids and your partner. You just see that. And then God somehow, it's almost miraculous. He changes you. He changes it. He somehow, through his power, will make you right. And one day you wake up and you see that you're not doing that. You're not off balance like you once were. You're not ill-timed like you once were. You were not stressed and tense like you once were. Now your words flow more, and they have a different effect on people. You'll see this, and you'll marvel at it. How did this happen? How? You didn't make it happen, but all you did was you were willing to see your own imperfection in God's perfect light of truth, and seeing it somehow through that seeing, God then, with grace, by his grace, he fixes it. It's that simple. It's so simple that you think, I've got to do something. I've got to fix myself. I've got to study more. But that's just another way that they have always gotten you off balance and messed up your timing for your own native wisdom to express itself. All right. I think you got the idea. So would you try the little meditation? It's so simple, and it could be just what you need to help your Christianity come alive. All the things you've always heard and loved, but haven't quite been able to live them, well, it might help you to refine your own center of dignity out of which you can flow. And then everything will change for the better. Until next time, Lord willing, and the Greek don't rise. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener supported. Thank you.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.